Amen. So if you turn in your Bibles to James chapter 1, we're speeding through James chapter 1. We're 3 weeks and we're still not done, but we're going to get through it. As you turn there, you might recall the book of James is one of those books that doesn't pull any punches. It tells it how it is. James was a very bold speaker, and today we're going to see a lot more of that. The theme of the book of James is faith that works, putting feet to your faith, and not just believing or seeing, but actually living out your faith. And so with that, let's go to verse 19 of James chapter 1. It says, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath." Now, that word, the two words there, "so then," on verse 19 that we start, it goes back to verse 18. And if you remember verse 18, I'll read it to you. It says that, you know, of his own will, God, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits. So James is saying, because he brought us forth by the word of truth, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. I like to just pause for a second, because I like how he addresses his readers. He says, "My beloved brethren." Now James, it's like I said earlier, a few minutes ago, he was not the guy that was the sugar. He was not sugarcoating things. He's gonna tell people how it is. But pay attention how he is addressing them. He's like, "My beloved brethren." The truth must be spoken. It must be shared, but it must be done in love. Thank you. If that's Ephesians 4:15, it says, "Speak the truth in love." So I like how James is reminding us. He's like, "My beloved brethren, I'm telling you these hard truths that perhaps are not popular, and at times you don't want to hear. I'm not saying this because I want to give you a bad day, but it's because I love you. So, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear." I read some commentaries, and most of them said, you know, God gave us two ears and one mouth so that we would listen twice as much as we speak. Again, he is talking about the word of truth, right? So then, my beloved, be swift to hear. Swift to hear the word of God. Be eager to hear God's word. Because, we're going to read it in a minute, it has the power to save our souls. But be swift to hear. We do well when we listen to the entire story. You know, if you have kids, sometimes you get a third of the version of the story, and then you have to go to the other kid and get another third, and then you come in. You know what I mean? If you just hear one side of the story and you quickly react to that, it may be that there's more for you to know, and you may be amiss by judging or passing judgment or making a decision with limited information. We need to be swift to hear, be open, quick to hear. It happened to me yesterday with my kids. They were playing a game, and one said, "He's wrecking my game." And the other one's like, "No, I'm not." And they're all fighting. Come to find out, they were totally fine. None of them was at fault. They just laughed at each other. But I'm like, hey, I'm glad I listened to both your stories in both sides, because I would have been like, oh, I'm defending the one that's saying you're wrecking the game. But again, we need to be quick to hear. And it says, slow to speak. I'll give you a few verses on being wise with your words. It says, Proverbs 10:19, "In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise." Proverbs 17:27, "He who has knowledge spares his words, and a man of understanding is of calm spirit." I got to tell you, this text could not be more relevant today in the culture of the days that we live in. We got to be so careful that we listen and that we are slow to react. Because in the multitude of sin, I mean, the word sin is not lacking. And there's another proverb that I don't have, but it says, even a fool is counted wise when he holds back his words. We got to be really careful. Once we say something, post something, send an email, send a text, you can never take that back. We got to be quick to hear the word of God and slow to speak. And also, remember, we're talking about the word of God, the word of truth. James 3:1 says this, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that you shall receive stricter judgment." So when it comes to the word of God, we need to be quick to hear it and slow to speak it. Because see, we can use the word of God, which is alive, is powerful. It's a double, two-edged sword, right? It's got power of its own. We can use that incorrectly to fit our agenda or to win our argument. And unfortunately, that's done in many pulpits across this country, across this world, where we have people that take the Bible out of context just to make a point that they want to bring across. But we got to be careful that we are slow to speak, that when we handle the word of God, be in our daily lives, or to make a point or an argument or what, you know, we got to be slow. We got to be careful because, again, we can do great damage by misusing God's word. That's why James will give the warning in chapter 3. He's like, hey, not many of you become teachers. There's a stricter judgment. Every word that I say from here and with the youth and to my kids, I am going to be held accountable for. We have to be slow to speak. Be careful. Be wise. And it says, you know, slow to wrath. So let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. The word wrath there is anger or temper. So James is telling his listeners, you know, don't be so quick to speak. Be open to listen and not so quick to wrath. Now, we got to keep this in context. We still go back to the word of truth. Some people don't like what the word of God says. It doesn't fit what we feel like or our points of views, and therefore we don't like it. I don't like the word of God telling me that this is a sin. I don't want God telling me that that's the way marriage should be. I don't like the word of God telling me how I should raise my children, and they're mad at it. But here's the deal. It's God's world. It's his word. It is universe. We're his creations. He calls the shots. He gave us the instructions. End of the story. Whether we like it or not, whether we agree with it, feel like it sometimes or not, God's word, you know, it says the world, everything's going to pass. The flowers fade, everything, but the word of the Lord remains forever. This is not going to change. Even beyond time, space, and matter, which we're here, once we're in heaven and in eternity, the word of God will remain forever. So be slow to wrath, not to be angry. And James has given very key insights into, you know, how we are to react to the word of truth. Verse 20, it says, "For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God." I cannot think of a more timely text to read than this. When I operate in anger and wrath, I'm not producing the righteousness of God. When I'm angry, when I'm mad, when I fly out the handle, is not helping anything. You think of Peter there in the garden, right? When they came to arrest Jesus, and he took that sword, right, and he chopped off Malchus's ear. The wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. What did Jesus do? Picked it up. Put away your sword, Peter. That's not how. Truth must be spoken. Sin must be confronted in love. Jesus, if you look at Jesus' life, he always addressed the sinner in love. Always. That's why they all wanted to eat with him and hang out with him. They came multitudes. It's like he just loved them. So the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. So, So, you know, I forgot to turn my page. I'm like, why am I reading the wrong thing? So, I'm like, I'm not there yet. 2 Timothy 2:23, this is what Paul is telling Timothy. Avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. Titus 3:9, but avoid foolish disputes, genealogies, contentions, and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and useless. I've been in that place where I got my argument all lined up, and I got my points, and I'm going to bring up this and that, and I'm going to remember something that happened 30 years ago, and I'm going to bring it to relevancy today, and I'm going to bring up, and I have this whole thing in my head, a whole flow chart of how I'm going to win this argument. And I could go forward and argue and dispute and ha. And when you leave and when it's all done, you feel terrible. There's no joy. You know, nobody, that person, those people, they're not closer to Jesus because of what you just did by disarticulating them and reminding them how bad they are. The wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Love covers a multitude of sin. I read this quote. It's a really good quote, I thought. It says, temper is such a valuable thing that it is a shame to lose it. I thought that was good. It got me. I'm like, yeah. So how we must ask, especially in the days we live in, Lord, give me self-control. Let me be slow to wrath, to anger. Verse 21, therefore, since you're being brought forth by the word of truth, still talking about the same, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. Now, that word there, meekness, it says mildness of disposition, gentleness of spirit. We often mistake being meek with being weak, but those are two completely opposite words. We think, oh, that person is very meek. Oh, I think they just kind of let you roll over them. And no. Meekness, I heard somebody describe it the other day. I thought it was really good. It's like, it's power under control. That's meekness. When you know you can win the argument, when you know you have the knowledge, but yet you're meek enough to keep it under control and not throw your weight around and say this and that and the other, but you receive. James is saying, receive with meekness the implanted word of God. When I read that implanted, you think about the parable of the sower, right? How the seed is the word of God. It was cast in four different soils. It was among thorns, rocks, by the road, and in good soil. James is like, hey, receive with meekness the implanted word of God. And I pray that it lands in good soil that brings forth fruit. So James gives us a contrast here. Instead of being angry, which wrath does not produce the righteousness of God, be meek and receive the implanted word of God. That is key. I think is a great contrast that James is giving us. Why? Because it is able to save your souls. Romans 10:17, it says, faith then comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we must hear the word of God, because that's how faith comes through. And again, as we just read, it is able to save our souls. So I pray that if you're listening online or here and you're not a Christian, that you receive God's word with meekness, because it is able to save your soul. It's able. What does it mean to change your eternal destination from a place called hell to a place called heaven, where you get to be with Jesus forever in life? I pray that your hearts are open, if that's you, to receive with meekness God's word. Not the words of men, the word of God, that it may save your souls. Verse 22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Now, this is one of those statements in the book of James that it starts, you know, like I told the first service, James starts cranking out the heat. And this one is like high, okay? He's like, be doers of the word and not hearers only. Why? Because you're deceiving yourselves. You know, when you go to church or you hear a guy online or whatever, and they make a statement and you go like, amen, or hallelujah, or clap, or how about this one? You know, like when you hear a good quote, you go like, that's good, James doesn't say, be doing, when you hear the word of God. Yes. Hit the like button on Facebook. Double tap the Instagram. Hashtag blessed on Twitter. No, he doesn't say that. He's like, do the word of God. And, you know, I'm guilty of that. When I go like, it's like, what? It's weird. Okay. Anyway, be doers of the word and not hearers only. So here it is. If the word of God calls it sin, guess what? It's sin. It's wrong. But if we live in it, we're deceiving ourselves. So, oh yeah, I agree it's sin, but I'm just going to keep doing it. But you're deceiving yourselves. It's not doing anything for you. You know, the word of God tells us that we are the light of this world. We're to shine. But if we live according to the world, we're deceiving ourselves. Yeah, we agree with the statement. Yeah, it was a good point, and it's true, I believe it. But I just live according to the world. Then I'm deceiving myself. We're deceiving ourselves. If you come to church and you hear a message, and again, you agree, and you and clap, and all that, and you walk out these doors, and you go back to the same ways, and nothing changes in your life, then we're deceiving ourselves. Now, this is not me saying this. This is James, okay? I know it's a pretty heavy, you know, topic, but it's true. We have, you know, in this age of information, we have pastors, great thinkers, commentaries all over the place. I was with Dan, my friend Dan, the other day, and he's got Pastor Chuck's Through the Bible, all the books, you know, and he's told me, I'm listening. We have all that at our disposal. You can go to websites and pull out like sermons of the entire Bible by great teachers. But what is all that wealth if we don't do anything with it? If it doesn't change how we live, if it doesn't change the decisions we make, how we rule our homes or work or around our friends, if it's not changing you, if you're not following it, then why have it? I went on to even put in my notes here that I think it's better not to have it if you're not going to follow it. My son, he played soccer, and you know they have to wear shin guards. And it's a requirement. And at the end of the season, we looked at his shin guards. They were all scratched up. I'm like, well, it's a great concept to have shin guards. You can agree that you got to wear shin guards. But if you don't wear the shin guards, they're useless. If we don't apply the word of God as it speaks to us, not as people twist it, but as it speaks in context, if we don't apply them to our lives, it's a waste. We need to be doers of the word. As a young Christian, if you know Calvary Chapel, where it began and all that, it began in, you know, Costa Mesa, California, with Pastor Chuck. You probably know that. That's when, in the 70s, 60s, and 70s, the hippie movement, when he was, you know, reaching out, and they were getting saved by the thousands, right? When I first got saved, I was going to that church in the early 2000s, and they had a lineup of pastors. There in 2002, 2003, they had Pastor Chuck, they had John Corson, they had Don McClure, they had Joey Brand, they had Brand Person. All those guys, if you know, they're good teachers. They each can have their own big church somewhere, okay? It was locked and loaded. And I was there on a Tuesday night about to go to church, and a guy came, an older man, with a Bible about this thick, okay? And he was, you know, and he just comes over to me and is like, hey. I'm like, he's like, there is no better place in the world to hear the word of God but there. And he pointed to the sanctuary. And I'm like, yeah. But, you know, if you know me, when somebody does something funny, I kind of smile like, okay, you know, that was weird. Yeah. But his demeanor, there wasn't one of like, oh man, praise the Lord, how blessed we are. It was more like a pride. Like, there's no better place in the world to hear the word of God than right there. Check out my Bible. Here's what I think about that. In Luke 12, Jesus said, to whom much is given, much is, ha. So we have all this knowledge, and we have all these great expositors of the word of God. All this wealth, Pastor Bill's not here, so I can say this. This pulpit, for almost 30 years, the Lord, using Pastor Bill. When you know you're not going to get fluff, when you know you're not going to get sugar-coated truth, you're going to get the word of God. What great wealth. What great blessing that we have. we must do something. We must do what the Word of God says. People all over the world crave for teachers that just open the Word of God and share it. But to whom much is given, much is required. So again, if we're not going to be doers of the Word, it'd probably be better not to have all these resources. Because it's like, what great waste. Why would we waste that? And I, parenthetically here, I hope that as you go to church or you tune into a service that you like, that you're not listening to the guy, the person, the conduit that God is using for his Word. I hope that's not where your eyes are on. I hope that whoever the person is on the pulpit, online, wherever it is, that you're seeking, you're being swift to hear, not man, but the Word of God. That the person is just a messenger, is relaying what this says. There's not, we're men, right? We're men and women, we're people. We're not special in any way. God, by his incredible grace, chooses to pick some of us to just relay his Word to his people, but that's all we are. We're a relay. That's it. Okay, we're broken, messed up vessels. I hope your eyes are on the Word of God and not man. Because I made those mistakes when I was a younger Christian. Where, if it's not that pastor speaking today, I'm going to walk out of here. Who's there? Let's look online. We can watch that later. Oh, but it's this guy that I really like. I want to listen to that one. It's the Word of God we're listening to, not man. And we need to be doers of his Word. So verse 23, it says this. For if anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of a man he was. So the Word of God is like a mirror. You open it, it's able to, again, pierce through your heart and your soul, build you up, convict you when you need to be, strengthen you. I mean, it's alive. It's got power of its own, okay? Whenever I open this book and read it, I am reading life. The Word of God is alive, okay? So if I look at it, it is piercing through me, is pointing out things, is encouraging me, whatever it is, however the Lord chooses to use this Word. But if I walk away from it and just forget what I saw, it's like, I'm deceiving myself. So why look in the mirror and say, oh yeah, and then you forget what you saw? We are to take the Word of God and let it work in us. So you pray and you agree and you're joyful and you come forth and yeah, we're going to do this thing. Oh yeah, we're going to live this way. Oh yeah, we're going to change that. And you walk out those doors, get in your car, and it's all back to the same. You're just being a hearer. I'm just being a hearer. And I pray often, Lord, I want to be a doer of what you tell me to do. I don't want to deceive myself because it is deceitful. That, again, because we agree, because we nod, because we say yes, that we go like, oh, by default, if I'm agreeing with something, it means that I'm doing something. But you have to do what you say you believe in. Verse 25, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this one will be blessed in what he does. So I want you to tune in here for a second if you haven't. But James is telling us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. But here he tells us the byproduct of being a doer. We are blessed. When I let the Word of God direct my life, the decisions I make at home, at work, with my friends, and I stand for what the Word of God tells me, although I may not be popular at times, although I may be the killjoy person in the room, there is a blessing that follows. There's been times where it's just me and the Lord. And I have to stand against, or not for, if you will, what everybody else wants to do. But if it's not godly, you stand alone sometimes, and it's just you and Jesus. And I love the fact that when I have taken those stands, Time tells, as it always does, who made the right call. I've had that happen a few times. I can share, but I won't. Whereas, like, you get vindicated, but it's not like in your face vindicated. It's because you are blessed when you do what the Word of God says. You can never, I can never, we can never go wrong. Ever. Ever. Take it to the bank. When we do what God's Word says, never. You can go wrong when you do what people say. You can go wrong when you go with a trend. Oh, everybody's doing this, let's do it. You can go very wrong when you follow the wisdom of man and the wisdom of this world. But when you follow the Word of God and you do it, you can never go wrong. Ever. Take it to the bank, frame it, put it on your wall. You can never go wrong. You are blessed in what you do. Now, I'm going to read to you a passage, and you might know where it is, but if you don't know, I'll tell you where it is. But just listen, because there is a blessing in hearing God's word and doing God's word. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither. And here you go. And whatever he does shall prosper. You guys know where that is? Psalm 1. Blessed is the man. And it's like backwards. Who walks not in the counsel of the God. He's not sitting within the path of the sinner. He's not hanging out with the scornful. But he is spending time in the Word of God. So you see the byproduct. When you spend time in the Word of God, it affects how you live your life. You're not in the path of sinner. You're not in the scornful. And then the blessing, you know, it shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And whatever he does shall prosper. There is a blessing when we do what the Word of God says. It's not my words. It's James. It's Psalm 1. And so forth. You just can't go wrong. I'm going to read another passage to you, and we're going to get into it. But Jesus there in Luke 6, 46 through 49, he says this. He says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Again, be hearers and doers. Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he's like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth or sand without a foundation. Against the stream, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Jesus says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you don't do what I'm telling you to do? Why would you call the Lord your Lord, and you're not walking how he tells you to? It's contrary. I'm not being judgmental or mean. It's contrary. If I say you are my Lord, therefore I'm submitting to you. So what you tell me to do, I do. Right? But Jesus says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you don't do? He's like, let me give you an example. If you do what I'm telling you to do, this is the picture. It's like a man who built a house, but he dug deep. I was asking Pastor Bill this morning, and then I asked Jay. But you know, the kids' church, you know, the newer area, and also the barn behind us, the youth building. When they put the kids' church in the building, they dug 12 feet of dirt. That's deeper than most pools, 12 feet of dirt. Dug it all up. And then they put piers. You know the piers, the concrete things? Okay. 33 feet deep. And then they started pouring the foundation. Are you guys getting the picture here? Was it a lot of work? Yeah. Was it cool to dig 12 feet of dirt and they pushed 33 feet down to make sure that the foundation of that building was going to be solid. It was a lot of work. I'm sure it was expensive, but it was worth it. That building, it's secure. The barn, it was 6 feet, and the piers were 15 feet deep. But you see, the picture that Jesus has given us, and then we're seeing something that we can tangibly look at, is the same. We have to dig deep. When we do what the Word of God tells us to do, it's like you're digging deep. You're pushing those piers all the way down. I talked to a guy who works repairing foundations, and he says, we push those piers so far to the point of refuse. Basically, when they can't go any deeper, that's when we stop. So if it goes 100 feet, they keep going until they get to the point of refuse. When they hit solid rock, they go like, okay, we can't go any further. Now we have a foundation that is not compromised. Now we can pour and build on this, and we can stand behind this work. That is what we do when we do what the Word of God tells us to do. We are wise men and women who are building, digging deeper. It's not easy to get up in the morning and pray and read. It's not easy to tell your teenage kids, that's not going to happen here. Oh, it's not easy. Oh, we don't watch that. Oh, we don't listen to that. You know, my 8-year-old has been asking me for a cell phone. I was like 20 when I got a cell phone. And it was a brick. Almost. It's not easy. But you are doing according to what the Word of God says. And while you might get pushback, while they may say, why? Time will tell, because God's word cannot lie, that you will be blessed, that I will be blessed. So we must dig deep. We must press on. Why? Because the storm comes. In our point, the storms will come. Paul said it, none of these things move me, right? In Romans, hey, the storm is coming. The storm has been here for 9 months. Where is your foundation? In the Word of God? Are you blown? Is your house fallen? Or is it standing? I pray it's standing. It's standing because you're based on the Word of God. And you're doing what the Word of God tells you to do, tells me to do. I look around and go like, Lord, how are people without Jesus making it right now? How? It's beyond me. But we have a sure foundation. Christ, the solid rock, and we build on that. Yes, it's not easy. Yes, it's hard to hold the line. Yes, it's hard to not be the popular person in the room when you stand for the Word of God, but there will be a blessing. There will be a blessing. So the barn, 6 feet. The kids' church, 12 feet. All that work. See, we're all building something. Notice that both men in the story of Jesus, they're both building. We're all building something. You're building something, I'm building something. The question is, what are we building on? We're all builders. And I pray that as we're building on the Lord. A friend of mine recently bought a house, and I was helping him set up the sprinkler system. You know, the time zones and all that. And as we were going through the time things and the areas, The builder put a description of each station. So we came to one that said drip lines. And they go like, what is that? I'm like, oh, that's the coolest thing, drip lines. I said, what is it? I'm like, it's a little hose around the perimeter of the house that when the sprinklers go on, they just drip water, tiny little drops of water that go into the soil and is allowing that soil to stay moist and therefore attached to the foundation, the concrete, so that when the 150 degree weather comes in August, that soil is not going to crack and weaken in the foundation. It's just going to stay there pushed. And I thought, okay, there's a point here. The Word of God is the water of the Word, right? So as we are soaking the soil of our hearts in it constantly, it's staying moist. It's our foundation is being strengthened. It's not being weakened. That is a huge thing. It's a massive point that we have to understand. Yes, getting up to read is hard. Yes, praying man, if you're ever tired, and try to get up 5 in the morning tomorrow. I'm telling you, man, it's evil. I'll just start falling. Oh, I can't get up. I can't keep my eyes open. You're like pouring coffee on your head. Stay awake. It's a battle. Oh, but try to get up early to go golfing. Woo! You jump out of bed. It's like, yeah, there's no battle there. Right? But when it's, oh, got to get up the kids. Let's go to church. 8 a.m. Ooh, oh, I can't move. You tell the kids, oh, we're going to Six Flags. They're up at 6. They're even cleaning their rooms. I'm like, what? What are you doing here? It's a battle. It's not easy. Jesus never said it's easy. He never said, yeah, sure. No. So I pray that we're doers and not hearers only. In the days that we live in, we, the church, need to be listening to the Lord, being slow to wrath, being wise with our words and comments and posts and texts. We have to be so careful. I pray that you're building, but you're building on the Word of God. Mom, Dad, Grandpa, Grandma, what are you? What foundation are you building your family on? What legacy are you leaving your kids, your grandkids? What is it? Let it be the Word of God. My wise grandpa, he's 92. He's about to meet the Lord any moment now. He preached till he was 91. I mean, just what, maybe 8 months ago. And I go like, what a way to finish. I talked to him last week. Well, he was still coherent. And he's like, barely talking with oxygen. On FaceTime. He's like, who's this? Oh, it's Raul, Grandpa. Papa. He's like, are you still preaching? 92-year-old voice. Are you preaching? I'm like, yes, I am, Papa. That's how I want to finish. At 92 with my wits and everything. It's like, that's the legacy I leave for my kids, for my grand, whatever the Lord gives me. He's about to like receive the crown. He's Timothy 4:8, right? I'm ready to go. Receive the crown of glory. You know, he's about to finish his race. He sees the finish line. We're building towards that finish line right now. Right now. And I pray that we can finish like that, however we finish, whenever it is that we finish that race. That we can look back, it's like, it was not foundation. Now that foundation is for my family to come behind and build on. I dug the 12 deep, the 12 feet. I put the piers. Here it is. I put the drip lines. Now you continue this. See, it's how we live our lives and how we handle the Word of God. And if we do what it tells us to do, it has far greater repercussions than we can ever imagine. Because it's not just for us. It's for people around us. In our family, our ministries, our work. I mean, it's like a shockwave. It has repercussions all around us. Let that be said of you, that you built on the foundation, that you took the Word of God, you followed the Word of God, you did what the Word of God told you, and let people remember you as I'm going to remember Pop-Up. He ran strong. He finished. There's no doubt. He's just about to get a new body. It's gonna be incredible. I'm almost jealous, you know? Like, man. Yeah, you're there. We're here. But I pray that we're building. I pray that we take this sermon and not just let it be another one of those that we just hear. It was good point, no cool drip lines, all good information on the barn. No. Let it change you. It's like, Lord, help me by your grace to be who you want me to be and do what you want me to do. To live how you want me to live, to whatever it might be. Yes, it will be hard work. Yes, you might have to dig deep, but it's worth it. It's worth it. I pray that we're doers. I pray that we're not deceiving ourselves into just agreeing with a preacher Sunday after Sunday and living our lives like nothing's changed. And as you hear the Word of God today, as I said to the first service, I always like to ask, if you're here today and you say, I don't know if Jesus is my Lord. I don't know if I'm saved. You know, the receive with meekness the word, the implanted word, because it has power. It can save your souls. Are you saved? If it was you going anytime soon, can you say, I'm going to heaven? If that's you, great. But if it's not, see, this whole thing that we're talking about, listening to God, who the word of truth, who he brought us in everything, it all builds up to one thing, what? Eternity. We're all going to die one day. Eternity is guaranteed to everybody. The point is, the question is, where? Eternally in heaven with God, or eternally separated from God in hell? We're all headed for eternity. But if you're here and you don't know the Lord, I pray and I ask and I almost beg you, let the word of truth, the implanted word, save your soul. Hear that Jesus died on the cross for you, to forgive you. He bore your sin upon the cross. He paid the penalty that we were supposed to pay so that you can have eternal life. You can have forgiveness. If that's you, you need to ask Jesus, forgive me. I want to go to heaven. Don't let this message, this text just be one of those that just goes by and say, oh yeah, no. If that's you, or listening online, if that's you at home, this is real. We're in real time. This is game day. This is real. We need to be right with God. We need to be born again. We need to be saved. Who knows what tomorrow brings? But I know who holds tomorrow. Huh? What joy, what hope, what peace I have. So we're going to pray. We're going to pray again for the sick. We're going to pray for Pastor Bill. And I'm going to pray. That's not, you need Jesus. I want to pray with you. So Lord, we thank you for your word. And I ask God that you, according to your grace and through your spirit, that you will help us, all of us here and listening online, you will help us all to be doers of your word. And not hearers only. Help us, each one of us, to build on the foundation, on the word of God. And Lord, as our eyes are closed, our heads are bowed, if anyone in this room, if you don't know, if you were to die, you're going to go to heaven, I want to pray for you. All you have to do is raise your hand right where you are. I'm going to pray for you. Is there anyone in this room? Just raise your hand. Well, Lord, we thank you. Because we're saved. And again, Lord, we ask for supernatural healing for Pastor Bill, for Becky and Thomas, and all those who are sick. Lord, send your healing upon this land. Send your peace upon the heart of men and women across this country, a country that is in turmoil. Lord, send your peace. Do your work. Let your will be done. So we thank you for your word. I pray you guide us, you keep us, you give us wisdom. Our ways, our thoughts, our deeds, our words, everything that we face this week, I pray you guide us. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. All right, so Valerie's already here. She's going to sing. But if you need prayer, if you have any questions or need prayer,